Welcome to Empower Church. Thank you for joining us today. We are a church that has been called by God, set apart by Him, and bound together by His love. A church that aims to reach the community, the nation, and the world with a message of hope. We hope this message will build your faith, give you godly perspective, and leave you empowered to impact your community and the world.
I don't know about you, but I just feel like today is going to be an awesome Sunday. It's about 19 of you that agree. I think today's going to be an incredible Sunday. I've come to the right church this morning. Warm welcome to everybody joining us online. So welcome to all our friends, YouTube, Facebook. Good to have you with us. All our locations around the nation. Welcome to you. Welcome to everybody from Secunda. Welcome to everybody from Durban, Cape Town. Welcome to Emalahleni. And welcome to every person watching from whatever town or city, whether in this nation or nations abroad. It's so good to have you with us. If you're joining online for the first time, just say, that's me. I'm here for the first time. Maybe give us the town that you're from. We'd love to have some people just connect with you and get you connected somewhere where you can journey with people. I don't know about you, but I'm excited for what God wants to do today. I want to speak to you this morning around I don't want to say a sermon title or a topic, but I believe the Lord wants to speak to us this morning about His divine design for our lives. Won't you look at your neighbor quickly and just say, neighbor, I live by divine design. Some of you didn't sound convinced. I'll give you an opportunity. Just chat to your other neighbor, just the other side. If you haven't got a neighbor there, just people behind you in front of you, just say, I live by divine design. For the last couple of years, this has been something that God has just been speaking to me about so much in my own life. We started doing our marriage camps here at Empower Church a couple of years ago. And from our very first marriage camp, the Lord spoke to Cornel and myself about His design for marriage. And He said to us, Eric, all I want you to do is just show people my design. That's all I want you to do. Just show them the design. In reality, I can't fix a marriage. I'm not capable of doing that. Only God can do that. I can give you 5 points or 7 tips. At the end of the day, if you don't follow God's design, your marriage will not flourish. And I'm just using marriage as an example. And over the last couple of years, I've seen more and more and more that everything in life works according to a specific design. Everything in life. Genesis chapter 1 says, God created the heavens and the earth. We can pause right there and speak about that for the whole Sunday. That everything in this life, everything on this earth, everything in the heavens, everything has been designed by God to function in a specific way. And as I understand His design and I live according to it, everything in my life will work. I'm not saying you won't have troubles. Jesus Himself said, you will be persecuted. There will be challenges in this life. But if we follow God's design, it's like a fish swimming downstream. If I work against God's design, it's like a fish swimming upstream. You're still swimming, but it just takes a whole lot more effort. Strengthen yourself. Where if I allow myself to follow God's design, God leads me, guides me in every path of my life. I want you to note something this morning, that whether I understand God's design or believe in His design, it still doesn't change the design. There's about 9 of you that agree with me. I'll try this side. Whether I understand the design or believe in the design, it still doesn't change the design. I can say I don't believe in the design of gravity. It's one of the laws of this universe that God has put in place. I can say I don't believe in it. You can say I don't like that law. I'd love to float from the stage and not climb down the stairs. Doesn't matter. The reality is that the law of gravity works. The reality is if I drop this little napkin, it will fall. That's the design. And everything in life has been designed by God to work in a specific way. Your life has been designed by God. This morning, I want to look at a couple of things just quickly that God has designed to function in a specific way. And friends, I believe that so much of the chaos that we see around us in the world today is because we are not following God's design. And mostly out of ignorance. It's just we don't understand, we don't know the design. That's why we're living in so many areas of our lives in absolute chaos. I think what worries me more is the fact that not only are so many people living contrary to God's design for their life, the world is doing its utmost best to remove the designer out of life. And I want you to see with me in this morning that if we remove the designer, we lose the design and we lose purpose in the design. Everything that's been created to function in a specific way, according to a specific design, has been designed in that way because following that design brings purpose. Kevin, I think you've got to play us a tune that will make people laugh this morning. Some of them are looking very serious this morning. So let me use a practical example. Who of you have got a kettle at home? Just a raise of hands. A kettle. Some of you didn't raise a hand. That worries me. I'm sure that most of you has got a kettle. Anybody online says I haven't got a kettle? Dion said he'll buy everybody a kettle that hasn't got one this morning. Yeah. Thanks, Dion. So a kettle has been designed to heat water. You all agree with me? There's purpose to the kettle. It's to heat your water so that you can have coffee or tea in the morning. Everybody understand that? You throw the same substance, water, in an ice machine, and it does something else with the water. Same thing goes in, different product comes out. Now you haven't got boiling water, now you've got ice cubes. It's a different purpose. It's a different design. Make sense? You can say, I don't like a kettle, or I don't like an ice machine. That's what it's been designed to do. And if I understand the design, even though I don't understand the intricate detail of how that machine has been put together, but if I understand the concept that I throw water in there and ice cube comes out there, that ice machine has a purpose to my life. And everybody that likes ice cubes in their Coke Zero would say, it's about 9 of you as well, okay. What is the purpose and the design of our lives? If I can see God's design for different areas of life and understand His design, I'd be able to align myself to that design and live a life of greater purpose. Can I use one or two examples? Maybe before I do that, I want to read us a scripture. Two scriptures, if I may. First one will be on your screen. Second one is just a scripture that I'd like to add to that. Colossians chapter number 1 verse 16. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. By understanding that He's the designer helps me to find purpose in the design. Can we have the keyboard just like one tone down on stage here on the monitors? Thank you so much. Deeply appreciate it. Ephesians chapter number 1 verse 11 to 12. From the Message, it says the following. It is in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. I just love the message. Sometimes it just says it so plainly that even people like myself can understand. Ephesians chapter number 1, 11 to 12. It is in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, He had His eyes on us and had designs for us for glorious living. Part of the overall purpose He's working out in everything and everyone. I think many people are walking around trying to figure out their purpose in life. I don't know if you've ever asked that question, God, what is my purpose in life? What have you called me to do? God, what is it that you want from my life? And what Paul is saying here is it's impossible for us to understand my design if I can't see the bigger design of God. That's why so many people live their lives without purpose every single day. Because the moment we remove the beauty of the Creator, we lose the design. We lose purpose in my life, in every area of my life. Can I use a couple of examples? Are you still okay? Everybody online, you still okay? If you are, tag somebody, share the stream, copy the link, send it in a WhatsApp, invite somebody to church. Can I use an example of marriage? Is that okay? Who in the building is married? Won't you just raise a hand? Please raise a hand. I see some of you that's married that's not raising a hand. It worries me. I'm not sure why you're doing that, especially if your spouse is next to you. Marriage. In the last couple of years, as we've worked with marriage ministry, camps, conferences, counselings, like I said, I've seen more and more that so many people are trying their utmost best to succeed in marriage, but they're failing. Not because they're bad people, just because they don't know the design. You can be rich, you can be pretty, you can be popular. You can have everything going for you. If you don't follow the design, your marriage won't work. Come on, I need some amens in the building this morning. Or you can be poor, ugly, have nothing going for you. Follow the design and have a beautiful marriage. Okay, tough crowd. Given you've got to build, we've got to build me up here. We need people to smile this morning. Dion is smiling. I can see it behind his mask. Thanks, Dion. I think one of the things that I've seen in marriage, and I'd like to just highlight four things that the Lord has showed me this morning that He wants to speak about. But my aim is not this morning to try and give you the full design of what marriage or sexuality or finances or community or whatever looks like. It's to stir something within you that you would walk out of this church today or click off online in a moment and say, man, there's something about God's design that I need to understand. And every time you open the scriptures, it's not just so that you can read a chapter a day to keep the devil away, but that you would open His scriptures and say, God, show me the design. Show me the design. If you're struggling in an area, maybe you are struggling in your marriage currently, that you would say, God, show me the design for marriage. Show me your design. Not Dr. Phil's design, not Oprah Winfrey's design. Show me your design. What is God's design for marriage? There's many things we can say about marriage. There's many scriptures about marriage. And I'd love for you to go and open those scriptures yourself and say, God, show me your design. But may I submit to you that most people get married for the benefits of marriage. There's one guy that really agrees with me there at the back. Most people get married for the benefits of marriage. The fact that you've got somebody there, a sense of security, a companionship, somebody to cook for you at night, I don't know. Maybe the benefits, the physical, intimate benefits that comes with marriage, I don't know. But most people get married for the sake of benefits. And that points us to one thing, that most people are in the marriage for what they can get out of the marriage. I know you'd never do that. But most people get married for what marriage can give them. And that's where most people fail in marriage, because marriage is not about you. It's about you giving yourself away. Just keyboard down on stage, guys, please. That's very loud on stage. Thanks so much. It's not about what you can get. Paul makes it as simple. He says, even your body doesn't belong to you anymore. you surrender yourself to somebody else. It's a selfless love that God calls people into. That's what covenant is about. Most people get married and they see it as a contract. It's something based on performance. If you perform well, I enjoy the benefits. If you don't perform well, I can just cancel the contract. Sounds like a job contract for some of us, eh? Okay. But marriage is much more than a contract. It's a covenant. You give yourself away. Marriage is not about finding happiness. Marriage is about mission. Marriage is about ministry. It's not about two people. I preached on this a couple of months ago, marriage relationship war, if you want to go check it out on YouTube. It's not about two people pursuing one another. Then you find your spouse and now it's just like, okay, let's keep one another happy for the rest of our lives. No, no, no. It's about two people pursuing God together. That's the mission of marriage. Otherwise, marriage will always just be about you. What you can get out of it, how you can be pleased, or how you please your spouse. It's not about pleasing your spouse or getting pleased. It's about following God together. And you've got to ask yourself as you sit here this morning, is there a mission to your marriage? Is there ministry to your marriage? Are you pursuing God together? Are you chasing after God in one accord? Because that's what the Bible said happened the day you got married, is you become one. And if we pursue God together, then we understand the design of marriage. I want to submit to you today, if you're here this morning and you're struggling in your marriage, that you would go home, or if your spouse is sitting next to you, that you would go home together and say, God, how do we change our approach to marriage? And you don't need a marriage camp to fix it. Though I would say, if you can, join the marriage camp. You don't need a conference or a book. You need God. He's the designer. He holds the design. So many people are running towards other people. Help me. How do I do this? How do I do this? Just go to the designer. He holds the keys. He holds the keys. Ask him. And he'll show you the design. And if you follow the design, I guarantee you, your marriage will work. We've seen it time and time again. Show people the design, they go home, apply the design, and it works. A marriage that was falling apart on the rocks just a couple of weeks earlier, all of a sudden, a marriage that flourishes. Why? Because I'm following His design. And I'm telling you, we're living in a day and age where media and TV and so many things. Thanksgiving, that's beautiful, man. I love that. So many things around us are dictating to us how the design should look for our lives. This is how marriage should look. I mean, come on, if you're following the design of the bold and the beautiful, I don't even know if that's a soapy anymore, you'd be an absolute mess in your marriage. You catch what I'm saying? I think I gave my age away there, maybe. What design are you following? Maybe you're following your parents' design. But maybe they didn't live their life according to God's design. And the very thing that you're duplicating in your marriage is the very thing that destroyed their marriage. Come on. Are we willing to say, God, show me your design? Even if it offends me, even if it means I need to change me, that's okay. But God, I want your design. I want to live my life according to what works. I want to be brave this morning and step out and also touch on sexuality. Sexuality. It's a hush-hush topic in churches nowadays, eh? Some of you are like, whoa, I can't believe the pastor said that this morning. That's the problem we have. Is that God instructed His people from the very outset of time. He said, I want you to teach your children my design. Because if they know my design, that's what they'll follow. The problem is you're not teaching our children the design anymore, including the design of sexuality, how God created us as sexual beings. And He gave us this incredible gift that He wants us to enjoy inside of His design. And I'm shocked if I listen to how some parents teach their children about sexuality. It's almost like you don't talk about that. You never go there. You don't do this. You don't do that. If I catch you doing that, if this, it's like we instill fear in our children. Where we should be the ones teaching our children that God designed certain things to work a specific way. There's nothing wrong with it.
shouldn't be a hush-hush word in churches. See, some of you are looking shocked this morning. But as I sat with the Lord this week, I felt the Lord said, Eric, I want you to speak about it because so many people are missing the design for sexuality. And sexuality is not bad. It's God's design. He made it to be good, to be beautiful, to be enjoyed. Where? In His design. What is His design? Marriage. Marriage. I want to venture out into some of these things, if God would allow me, because I feel like we've been on silent on too many things. And I thank God for people like Pastor Herbert that teaches our children the way of the Lord, because for so many decades we've been teaching our children the size of Noah's boat, but they're actually asking some questions that might shock you as a parent. Not that we shouldn't teach them the size of the boat. I'm just saying that's not what life is about only. The Bible stories that we grew up with know our children are asking real questions, and who can they ask it to? If we as parents do not create a safe environment for them to come and say, Mom, Dad, tell me about this. And you can't say, no, we don't talk about this. You're too young for that. Or go ask your mom, or go ask your dad. We've got to be open and honest and speak about God's design. Because if we speak it from His perspective, it's beautiful. It is. And I'm shocked to see the amount of people that is broken in the society, in the world around us today. So many of them come out of sexual brokenness. It's the reality. Why? Because they've not followed God's design. The world is not following God's design. It's awfully quiet in the church right now. Many years ago, 2013, I believe, we were doing our second last young adult camp. Cornelia and myself, and we felt the Lord said, I want you to speak about sexuality. I said, God, whoa, yeah. This is like a young adult camp. There's nobody married here. I'm not sure if that's the right topic to speak about. And that's the problem. And that's what the Lord said to us. He said, that's exactly why I want you to speak about it. Because if you don't teach people my design, they'll go into marriage broken. But give them a platform from which they can live their lives whole. And I don't care if I offend you this morning. I really don't. But I want to say to you that the beauty of sexuality is found when you place that gift in God's design. And that's marriage. It's marriage. I've said it to many people. I'm going to close around sexuality with this. I see it's a dangerous topic this morning. I've used this example before. If you engage in that, if you violate God's design outside of marriage, it's like getting your favorite car. I wonder what your favorite car is. Some big Range Rover or a double cab Bucky or some SLK Mercedes Dion, I don't know. It's like getting your favorite car, but not getting the keys. You've got the car, it's in your garage. You can show the car to your friends. You can climb in the car. You can sit in the car. You can listen to music in the car. But you can never truly experience the full potential of what that car was designed to do, because you haven't got the keys. And you can tell me, yeah, okay, man, we've ventured out in this and we've experimented with this and we've enjoyed this. Doesn't matter. You haven't got the keys. The keys only come inside covenant marriage. That's where God allows you to experience the fullness and the beauty of that gift. Once again, doesn't matter if you agree with what I say this morning, that's the design. And if you are married and you're not enjoying the true beauty of sexuality in your marriage, you're not following the design. And I don't mean to offend you, I'm just saying, if you're not enjoying that beauty of that gift, as a covenant partner, as two people that's become one in covenant, then you're not following the design. Then open the scriptures together and say, God, show us, how do we approach this difference so that we can enjoy the design? Every single area of our lives, we can speak about God's design. And I've got to be honest with you, there's many areas in my life, if I look back on the last couple of years that I've journeyed with God, where I've seriously missed the design. And I think there's many areas in my life where I'm still learning the design. But we've got to have a willingness in our hearts to say, God, teach me your design. And can I just say, it's not complicated. It really isn't. There's the manual. It's like buying that kettle or that ice machine, then you get that little booklet with it. You know what I'm talking about? And when you struggle and the thing isn't, the light is not on, you just go to the manual. There's the manual. God, how do I do marriage? There it is. God, how do I do sexuality? There it is. God, how do I do finance? There it is. Can we speak about finances this morning? It's about 17 of you. Okay. The reality is, if I had to ask now, anybody in church, anybody online, that say, I'd love to see an increase of finances in my life, everybody will raise their hands. It's a topic we all want to speak about, but you just don't like it when the church speaks about it. It's true. It's true. I'm the one presenting finances at our new members course every time. I can see how people's faces changes when you start speaking about money. I'm serious. Some of you might have thought right now, yeah, you see, yeah, now the church, there we go, money again. In this church, we don't speak about money for our sake. It's not to profit the church. It's to profit you. Because there's a design that if you follow it, you will prosper. Doesn't care, doesn't matter your background, where you came from, your current financial status, the color of your skin, your age, it doesn't matter. If you follow the design, it works. If you don't, it doesn't work. Can I speak about God's design for finances? Maybe just... Everything about God is about giving. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. Everything you have is because you've received it from Him. Once again, whether you believe it or not, doesn't change the design. He's the one that gives you everything. It's in Him that we live and move and have our being. It's not in yourself. It's not in your own strength. It's not in how good you can make a budget. It's not in how good you can do your financial year end. It's only by His grace. And if you want to prosper, if you want to see increase in finances, and I'm not just talking about monetary value, I'm talking about every area of your life, you've got to follow His design. And if we're speaking about finances, part of His design is the principle, and there's many principles in Scripture around giving, but one of the principles that we just can't find our way around is the principle of tithing. And please hear my heart, friends. Even Given is quiet on the keyboard now. Please hear my heart this morning. Please hear my heart. I'm not speaking about this now to profit the church. I'm not speaking about this so that when we do and have a time of giving at the end of our service that people will now tithe. I'm sharing God's design with you. Whether you apply it or not, it's up to you. We never force anybody to give. But I can't not submit the truth to you. Because we stand responsible as pastors and teachers in the church to teach you the truth. What you do, it is up to you, whether you apply the design or not. But part of God's design is the principle of tithing. It's how you connect to heaven's economy. It's how you connect to heaven's economy. It's the reality. It's the truth. When I was taught about tithing many years ago, I didn't like it. Because I made the sums immediately. I was like, what do you mean I need to give that away? I need that right now. And I remember sitting there and I think to myself, I can't afford to tithe. And in that moment, the presenter said, you can't afford not to tithe. I've learned that you don't save your way out of poverty. You give your way out of poverty. I'm telling you, it's God's honest truth. And that's why God says, test me. Don't take my word for it. Take His word for it. Test Him. And I want to speak to you this morning, if you're struggling with finances, if you're not seeing breakthrough in that area of your life, I want you to boldly pursue His design and see what God does in your life. See what He does. see what he does. I can honestly keep you here the whole afternoon just telling you testimony after testimony of how we have seen God's faithful hand in that area of our lives just because we obey those principles. And there's hundreds of people seated here this morning that can testify exactly the same thing. And you can say, well, yet a tithing is an Old Testament principle. It's under the law. No, it's not. Way before the Mosaic law was given, we see Abram tithing. It's not a law thing. And it's not just an Old Testament thing. Jesus himself spoke about tithing. It's in your Bible. Go read it. And may I just suggest and say the following. God is not after your money. He's paving his gold in heaven. So he really doesn't need your money. He wants your heart. And that's why he asks for your money. It's the God's honest truth. Because there's nothing that will test your heart more than your money. It's awfully quiet on this side. I just want to venture out. I don't want anybody scratching my car. So I'm just going to... Other than the principle of tithing... One of the principles that we see throughout Scripture, and it's not just regarding finances, it's regarding everything in life. It's a principle of sowing and reaping. It's a design. It's a principle. You sow a seed, you harvest something. That's how it works. Same regarding finances. Jesus himself taught on that principle. You sow, you reap. You cannot outgive God, says the Bible. Meaning whatever you sow, you'll see a harvest. The reason why so many people are so stuck in poverty and debt is because they haven't got any seed in the ground. It's as simple as that. I always say to people, have you got seed in the ground? If people speak to me about, yeah, I'm struggling with finances. I ask them, first question, have you got seed in the ground? Are you somebody that generously gives? Because if you're not, what do you want to receive? I can't violate the design. So yeah, I believe in sowing and reaping, but not when it comes to finances. There, I just want to reap and not sow. It doesn't work like that. So look for fruitful ground around you and start sowing. Start sowing. We've journeyed with people, so many people over the last couple of years around this principle. And I would always ask them, okay, what is it in your heart? Where do you feel like God wants you to sow into? And they say, now, sow into that person's life. Or, I feel like I need to sow into that ministry. And I would just say, okay, start. Doesn't matter if you start with 5 rand. Doesn't matter. Just start. Just start to put seed in the ground. And the moment you put seed on the ground and you connect it to heaven's economy, you will just see, oops, all of a sudden, things start to change. You might go through a season where it feels like all hell is breaking loose in your life because the enemy will always test the word of the Lord in you. Because we can say amen at the right places doesn't mean that I believe the word. Oh, come on. The heavens open, the Father speaks. He says, this is Jesus, my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. The Spirit leads Jesus into the desert. Directly after that, and the enemy says to him, if you are the Son of God, word tested. But I want to encourage you to test the Lord in your giving. And see if he will not be faithful to his word as he says that he will open up the heavens over your life. Become a generous person. Don't look at finances religiously. Okay, Lord, there's my 10% like you're tipping a waiter. Don't do that. Say, God, this is everything I have is from you. And there's the tithe that belongs to you. God, whatever else you want me to do with this 90%, it's your money. And if you can make that exchange, heart exchange, watch what God will do in your life. Well, I'm serious. Watch it. And come and testify if the truth of God's word is not true in your life as well. I want to come in for a slow landing. I want to speak about quickly just the divine design around rest. It's the four things that God prompted in my heart. Marriage, sexuality, finances, rest. There's 100 things we can speak about because everything functions according to design. But those are the four that I believe the Lord wanted me to highlight to you today. Do we understand the principle, the design, the blueprint of rest. So many of the problems that people are facing today, physical problems, mental problems, emotional problems, all kinds of problems, are because of this one reason: we violate rest. We violate rest. And may I just say, rest is not having a couple of days off and parking in front of your TV and watching Netflix. It might look like physical rest, but it doesn't mean that you're resting. We don't understand. That's why the writer of Hebrews chapter 4 says, come into the promise that you can enter the rest of God still stands. It's something that you enter into. Interesting. God made the heavens and the earth. 6 days He worked. The seventh day He rested. He didn't need the rest. It's not like God can grow tired. Why was the seventh day a rest day? Because on the sixth day He created man. And the very first day that man had with God was designed to be a day of rest. We don't work to rest. We work from rest. That's the principle. And that's the design that so many people are violating. They work, 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 and they burn themselves out emotionally, spiritually, physically, so that they can, at the end of the year, rest. And when you come to your December holiday, you burn out, you overwork, you feel like you want to kill people, and then you don't rest anyway. And rest is not just a one day a week that I set aside for God. It's a place that I live from. It's a person that I live from. Jesus is my rest. That's the one we enter. Practical example. I'm sure some of you have had those mornings where you wake up and you just go sit with God and you just have this moment where you connect with Him. It's like taking that kettle or that ice machine and plugging it into the source. Many people are walking around like kettles and ice machines, but they're not plugged in. I'm serious. You can read the manual all you want. Toggle those little switches till you're blue in the face. If it's not plugged in, it's not going to work. And you have that moment where you just plug into God. Would you agree with me? That day you live your life somewhat different than the days you wake up, you've overslept, everything's crazy, kids are not done, you're late for work, everything's a mess, car doesn't want to start. Have you ever had one of those mornings? How do you live your life that day compared to this day? Much different. Why? Because you started your day from a place of rest. Interesting that the exact amount of years that Israel spent in captivity was the exact amount of time that they violated God's Sabbath rest. So many people that's living in captivity within themselves because they're violating the principle of rest. Rest. Most of us, within the next 2-3 weeks, will have a time of rest. Some of you might work through December, but you'll have at least 2-3 days somewhere where you can rest. Some of you are going on holiday, or like some of you on holiday already. What is your approach to His design for your rest? Because rest is not watching Netflix or parking on a beach, just lying there and tanning in the sun. That's not rest. Might be physical. But how do you rest your very being, you as a person? How do you rest? You enter into Him. Amen. It's how you connect with Him. It's how you draw yourself into God. And there's not a formula to that. For some of you, it's putting in your earphones and just parking there and just worshiping Jesus for hours. Some of you, it's when you open your Bible and you just read and that word just becomes alive to you. Washes you, it pulls you. Some of you, it's sitting there just praying in tongues for an extended time and just feeling how your spirit man comes alive. Jude 20, it's like you start to build yourself up in your most holy faith. I don't know how your design of rest looks like, but it's connected to a person. It's not connected to a holiday. It's not connected to Netflix. It's not connected to anything else. It's connected to a person. And that's why I believe you should have every day, you should have a time where you connect to that place of rest. There should be days in your week, at least 8 days, somewhere where you take a moment of rest. Meaning where you sit and say, God, I'm just here to soak up the life-giving power that you bring to my life. How well do you rest? Come on, friends. We can become so spiritual, but if we violate the basic principles of God's design, we will live our lives in a deficit. You will always feel like you're fighting. You always feel like you're pushing. You always feel like you're pulling something. It's like you're never in that sweet spot of life. Why? Because we're violating His design. Love me today, but I can't preach a message, anything else, or send you into 2022 with any other message than saying, follow His design. Follow the design. What area in your life feels like chaos? Maybe it is your marriage. Follow the design. Maybe it is your finances. Follow the design. Follow the design. I believe there's many people here that's violating the principle of rest. In the name of rest. No, I'm working hard now for that reason. No. You can't violate the principle of rest in the name of God. Some of you are working so hard, you're missing incredible moments with your family. In the name of what? Please, I understand how busy life can be, and we all go through seasons where we need to put shoulder down and say, we're going to push. But you should live your life from that rhythm of grace, says the Message Bible. Jesus said, if you feel tired, weary, heavy, burdened, like you have no rest, come to me. Come yoke yourself with me. Come alongside me and I will show you, I will teach you that unforced rhythm of grace. Matthew 11. It's in Him. I'm closing. Many people are asking, God, what's my purpose in life? What's my design? I want to submit to you this morning, friends, that I will never find my design outside of His. Because I was created in His image. Some of you didn't catch that. I'm created in the image of God. Meaning if I want to discover my design, look to His design. I don't have a manual for my life. I have one for His. And in this manual, I find Him. And as I find Him, I find me. That's why every year when I close, and this is the first year I'm not doing it, but if we understand the design, we'll understand that every year as I share about what have I learned about Jesus in whatever year that has been. Why is it important? Because the more I discover Him, the more I discover me. That's the truth. Moses asks the Lord, Lord, show yourself to me, free translation. And God hides him in the cleft of the rock and he walks past him and he says, this is who I am. And there's so many attributes that he shares. So slow to anger, rich in love, compassionate. Every one of those attributes that I see in God, I can see in myself. Why? Because I'm made in His image. So if God is slow to anger, I must be slow to anger. If God is gracious, I can be gracious. If God is a healer, I can heal. Come on. I made in His image. Whatever I see in Him, I can be. As He is, so are we in this world. The question is, as He is, how is He? Can we see Him? Can we see the beauty of Jesus? That's why if people say, no, I struggle reading the Bible, it's because we've made Bible reading the focus. It's not about reading the Word, it's about finding the Word in the Word. And every time I find Jesus in there, I find something of myself. And not only do I understand my design better, I become more empowered to show the world how Jesus actually looks like. I've heard people say, many people say, Yeah, I must say, the Jesus that I see in Christians is not the Jesus that I read about in the Bible. How accurately are we as a church, as His people, representing God? To people that don't know Jesus, they've never met Him, they've never had that personal encounter with Him. What does my life testify about? Is He an angry God? I heard somebody, a preacher, say the other day that Jesus came on our behalf on the cross to silence the anger of God. I thought to myself, that's absolute rubbish. What Bible are you reading? Come on, what God are we portraying to people? Jesus came to show us the Father, and He's not an angry man. If you walk around with God as this judge that's just waiting for you to sin so He can smite you, you're missing the picture. That's not God. He's not some angry God that needed to be silenced in His anger by Jesus on the cross. Jesus came to show us the Father, the gracious one, the one that is slow to anger, rich in mercy, the forgiving one, the one that would give Himself and His own Son for our behalf. Come on, friends, what God are we portraying to the world? That's when I speak about giving, it's not a principle, it's a person. Can't walk around, I'm a Christian, but I'm stingy. God is not stingy. Please, friends, listen to me this morning. I can't say, hey, we're going to conquer the world, but I'm not living in the character of the one that I represent. If you're struggling to be generous to other people, how will people see God in you? How will they see God in me? If I'm not able to give somebody 10 rand that's standing next to the road struggling, or somebody comes, knocks on your door, say, sir, please help me. And we just say, sorry, I can't help you. What do I show? And I'm not saying let's just go to every person I see and give all my money away. But if that's what God requires of you, will you do that? Will you do that? My wife challenged me a couple of years ago. She said, the way that you tip the car guards doesn't show the true character of God. I was offended. I was like, hey, I'm giving them good money. She says, not good enough. True story. The way that I give to that man, can he see in me that there's something different? And it's not just about the monetary value. It's about the way that I give. Just like, you know, there's your 5 rand. Or can I look that man in the face and say, sir, I thank you for watching my car today. You've blessed me, man. I want to be a blessing to you as well. Come on, friends, where's the character? Where's the attributes? Where's the attitude of Christ in our lives? He's the ultimate design. I'm closing. He's the ultimate design that I've got to live my life according to. He's the ultimate design. I want to encourage you, I close. I want to encourage you as you go into December, as you wrap up this year, that you would go and look for His design, for your life. Every area of your life, look for the design. Look for the design. But more than anything else, look for the designer. Find Him and you'll find life. You'll find everything about Him. You'll find yourself. We are hidden in Christ. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Worship team, join us. I wish I had more time. There's so many areas of our lives that we're missing the design. And I say this with great humility and respect because I miss them as well. There's so many areas of our lives where we're missing it. Parenting. Do we understand God's design for parenting? Do we understand God's design for government? You know that God actually gives us the design for government? He does. He actually gives us the design for how people should be taxed. Biblical principle, by the way. God's design for communities. You know what God's design for healthy communities is? The family unit. That's His design. He's got a design for church. Are we following His design? Worship team, won't you join us? Are we following His design? I want to pray for us this morning. I want to pray that that in our time that's left in this year, as we transition from one year into the other, which is always this beautiful time where God speaks. Catch what I'm saying? God speaks in these times with great clarity for the new season. And it's my prayer for us today that we would hear God speak and that we would see His design. And for whatever area in your life, that you would see His design in that specific area. Before I pray for all of us, I want to pray for people this morning. As I sat with the Lord last night, I felt the Lord speak to me about people that has lost joy. People that have lost joy. And please afford me another 10, 15 minutes of your time. We haven't got an evening service tonight, so I'll just stretch the morning service. Is that okay? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Pastor Derek, start this stopwatch. 5 hours. I've been granted 5 hours. Thanks. I see that hand. You've lost joy. And I said, Lord, why joy? Why do you want to pray? And I felt the Lord speak to me about the moment we lose the design, we lose purpose. Because purpose is linked to design. Ghetto. It's got a design, it's got a purpose. I've got a design, I've got a purpose. Follow the design, I live with purpose. Don't follow the design, no purpose. And the moment you lose purpose, you lose joy. Think with me. The moment you lose purpose, you lose joy. Because joy is found in purpose. And I believe there's people here this morning, and if you're online, I'd love for you to comment. YouTube, Facebook, if that's you, just pop your name there. You've got people watching the stream and they'll pray for you. Even if you don't know, they'll be praying for you. Saying, God, thank you that we can bring that person before you. Let joy be restored. But I want to pray for people in the house this morning. If you have lost joy, I want you to come and present yourself before God this morning. It's not about me. It's not about my prayers. It's about a response that activates a breakthrough in your life. I saw it, how these people, it feels like you don't even, you can't remember when last you really laughed. And remember, there's a difference between joy and happiness. Happiness is a feeling. Joy is a fruit. You're happy when somebody gives you a new car. And all the Christians say, okay, that was a joke. But joy is not linked to, it's not the same as happiness. Joy is something that comes from within. And if you've lost that inner joy, I want you to come. I want you to come. Just be bold in this day. Say, God, that's me. It feels like I've just lost it. Doesn't matter. Friends, this is a moment between you and God. Come. Just come. If you've lost joy, you've lost joy. It's like you don't know why, really, maybe, but you've just lost it. I believe God wants to restore joy today. I'm watching online, friends. Thank you. I see those names. I pray for every single one of them. Thank you. Thank you, Annette, Anne, Wayne, Gert, Caroline, Julia, Arina, Letty. I mean it. I'm praying in this day that God would restore joy. Worship team. Come. I want to ask if we can have a volunteer with every single person. And I just want you to put your hands on their shoulders. And I want you to start praying in this moment. Just start to pray. Church, won't you stretch out a hand? Come on, if you've lost joy, this is not the time to be seated now. Please come. Say, God, in this day, I want my joy restored. It's the strength. It's the joy of the Lord. It's your strength. Come on. Come on. Come on. I want a volunteer or a leader with every person, please. We've got two people here that need somebody with them. Every single person. Church, give me another 5 minutes of your time, please. Let's pray.
Let's pray. Won't you stretch out a hand, church? Come on. Pray with me. Say, God, in this day, we pray for every form of heaviness, disappointment, to fall from people's shoulders. And we pray that joy would be restored in this day. Come on, pray with me, church. Pray with me. Joy be restored. Thank you, worship team. Come on. Joy. The joy of the Lord. Father, we pray against every form of heaviness, every form of disappointment, every onslaught of the enemy. In Jesus' name, be broken. Be broken. Be broken. Be broken now. Joy be restored. Joy. Joy. Come on, JP. Let's sing this song out loud. Come on. Come on. Jesus. Thank you. Joy be restored. Joy be restored. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would come. Touch me. Father, we pray for every person in this day. Pray for every person online that's commented their names. Let joy be restored in this day. Let the joy of the Lord be their strength from this moment forward. In Jesus' name we pray. Come on, if you agree with that, won't you say amen? Amen, church. Thank you. You're welcome to be seated. I see a lady. I think you're an elderly lady. Is that all right? Can I have like 5 minutes? I said 5 minutes. I lied. It was 10. Now it's 5. Is that okay? Can we do that? I see a lady. I think you're an, I don't want to say elderly lady, but I see a lady. You've lost somebody in the last couple of days or weeks. You've lost somebody. Somebody has passed on. And I see how you are just battling to process that. God wants to just help you today. God wants to touch you today. Please come if that's you. You've lost somebody very close to you the last day or couple of days or weeks and you're struggling to process that. Please come. Please come. Please come. Come on, isn't Jesus amazing? Come on. I see somebody's leg, the right leg. I don't want to close the service and not respond to this. Somebody's right leg, I don't think it might be your knee, but I think it's muscles or ligaments, your right knee. You've got incredible pain. Something is not right with your right knee. And I believe God wants to heal you today. If that's you, won't you come? Dion, come here. I want you, can I ask the two of you, can I ask you to stand on my right? Dion, I'm just going as the Lord leads me. Dion has got an incredible gift of healing, and Dion is going to pray for them. Can I have some volunteers with Dion? Thank you. God, I agree with the prayers that Dion prays over those legs right now. Complete healing in Jesus' name. Come on, if you agree with that, won't you say amen? Won't you say amen? Thank you, Lord. Is there Gerard? I hear the name Gerard. Gerard. Online, if there's a Gerard watching online, won't you comment for me as well? Gerard. Even if it's your second name, I hear the name Gerard. Gerard. Pastor Stefan, will you have a look at YouTube and Facebook for us? Gerard. I see a number. I'll share that number if there's... Awesome. You know what's beautiful? God won't call out leg problems and then just have people come to the front and not touch them. Come on. It's who He is. He's a healer. And I believe that God is touching people right now. Come on, if we agree, let's just say amen. Let's say amen. Let's say amen. Awesome. Parents, if you're sitting next to your child, if your child is with you in the church, I want you to put your hand on your child. Put your hand on your child. If you're online and you're in your room somewhere or in your house, call your kids if they're not with you and lay a hand on them. Come on, we're going to bless our kids. We're going to bless our kids. Put your hands on your child. Don't wait for my prayer. As a parent, I want you to start to pray over your child. It doesn't have to be out loud. Just there we are. I want you to pray the blessings of God over your child. Come on. Pray for your children. Even if your kids are not with you, start to pray for them right now. Bless your kids. There's incredible power in a parent's prayer. Bless your kids. Come on. Bless your kids. Bless your kids. Bless your children. Bless your children. Father, we pray for every child in this place, every child online, in a meeting or in a house or in a room somewhere, as their parents pray. Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Let the goodness and the favor of our Lord Jesus Christ rest upon every single child right now. Father, we bless our children in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. We speak over them. Father, if there's children that's not saved, children that's disconnected from you, people, children that have strayed the path, God, in this day we call them back. Come on, speak it out by faith. Say, Father, I call them back to the obedience of your word. By your grace, God, I call them into a relationship with you. Father, we bless our kids. We pray over them. Jeremiah 24, that they will know you and love you. That they will know you and love you. Lord, we bless them. Every area of their lives, relationships,
finances, school, study, every area. We bless our kids in this day. Come on, if you agree with that, and that's your prayer as well, won't you say amen and amen and amen.
If there's a Gerard online watching right now, I want you just to send me a personal message on Facebook to something that I feel the Lord is saying to a Gerard. Can I just step out? Just this is something strange, but I want to just rather take the chance and miss it than not respond at all. Is there somebody here this morning? You're in church. When you drove to church, there was something happening, either a discourse or a discussion or an argument or something that happened around, this, I know this sounds very weird, around a safety belt. Please, I'm not a Metro Police officer. I'm not going to give you a ticket if you didn't put on your safety belt. I'm serious. There was a discourse or something about the safety belt in the car. And the reason why God is showing that, I believe, is because He just wants you to know that He knows you and He wants to say something to you. And if that's you, I'd love for you to come. I'm not saying that you didn't wear your safety belt. I'm just saying there was something around the safety belt. That's what I see. You had something, either your safety belt didn't work, you had a discussion around the safety belt that you didn't have on, or you, something about a safety belt. Can I just see, is there somebody in church? I beg you, if that's you, please come. Last Sunday, I called out a man. So this man had a fight with his safety belt this morning in the car. And I'll share with you now. Friends, can I just say this? I have learned in my life that I would rather step out and make a mistake than miss it. Yes, last Sunday morning I prayed and I said, there's a gentleman here, you are a single dad, you've got three kids, and you've prayed a prayer with your hands in your head, saying, God help me. And we had three precious gentlemen come out. Yet in my heart, it felt like God was showing me somebody else. And directly after the service, that precious gentleman comes out. And I'm not saying this to cast a negative light in, I'm saying there's God moments that we should respond to. It's God moments. And if I hear a click and I'm like, God, what is the click? And I see a safety belt, and I'm like, God, show me anything else but a safety belt. Why do I even make? And I feel like God is saying, there was an issue with the safety belt this morning. I feel like God is so awesome that He would use that to call out this man. And I asked the Lord, Lord, show me what you want. What do you want to say? And I saw, and my friend, this whole service, I mean, you cheered me on. Thank you for that. I just appreciate people that talk back to me. It just makes me feel like I can preach better. Thank you. But this whole service, you were standing out to me. And I'm not saying this just for the sake of now standing in front of you. It's like there was a light that just shined on you the whole service long. And I asked the Lord, Lord, speak to me about this person. And the words just dropped in my heart, cords of love. And I see how God surrounds you with cords of love. Cords of love.
There's been stuff that has been taken from you. Love. Love has been taken from you. Hey? And God wants to wrap you with cords of love. I think there's a scripture like that somewhere. I'm not sure. Doesn't matter. But His love wants to wrap you in this day. God loves you, man. And God wants you to know whether that safety belt was something working together for your good. I don't know, but I'm not going to try and read something in scripture that's not there. But God has got an appointment with you. And I don't know your story. Is that your family there? Is that your kids? God has got such a plan with your life, man. And God is wrapping you in cords of love again today. The loss of love that you have experienced in seasons that has passed, God is restoring that. He's a love. He's the ultimate one. He holds everything in His hands. What's your name?
Douglas.
Douglas. Give me your hand, Douglas. Father, I pray for Douglas in this day. I pray as I hold his hand, Lord, let him experience the immense beauty of your love that just wraps around him in this day. Father, I pray into his heart in areas where love has been taken, stolen from him. God, in this day, come and restore as you said you would. May he experience the incredible love of God, the love that goes beyond all human understanding. May he experience that today. And may that beauty, that weight of your love not leave him ever again. Douglas, I feel God wants me to tell you that he loves you and he wants you to know that. Bless you, my friend. Bless you. Church, can I ask you to stand? Won't you stand? I'd love to pray for you. I just feel like church services should be a bit longer. I don't know what you think. And I always want to be conscious of the fact that some of you might be pressed for time, but if that was you, please forgive me this morning for going over time. But I really never want to miss what the Holy Spirit wants to do. If you are here this morning and you have come to church saying, God, I really need a breakthrough today. I really need a breakthrough. I want to ask you that when we close the service a couple of minutes from now, that you will come to the front. We've got incredible volunteers, pastors, shepherds and leaders here that would love to pray for you. I mean it. Don't leave here today if you've not received prayer. If you say, God, I've come to church for a breakthrough. If that's your desire, your heart, your plead, then come for prayer today and we'll believe with you. I want to pray for you. Father, I pray for every single person that's here this morning. Lord, I pray that they will be drawn into your design. God, forgive us where we've done life in our own design, where we have violated the beauty of what you have given us to live by and lived in our own strength or understanding. Forgive us, God. But in this day, Lord, our hearts are turned to you and we say, God, we want to know you. We want to know your ways. We want to know your blueprint, your design. Show us, God. Draw us into that, we pray. I pray for marriages, for finances, for rest, and for people that are struggling in areas of sexuality. As you have shown me, God, in this day, may there be a restoration, a breakthrough that comes as they lean into your design. God, I bless your people that they would prosper in every single area of their lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Come on, if you agree with that, won't you say amen and amen and amen. Thank you, Pastor Stefan. Church, won't you be seated just for 2 minutes? We just want to share one or two announcements with you and then we'll close the service. Bless you. Bless you.
If you've been impacted by this ministry in any way, we want to encourage you to partner with us financially and help us continue delivering God's word all around the world. Visit www.empowerchurch.co.za and find the giving option that works best for you, as well as some of our latest resources. Thank you again for joining us. Now go and live an empowered life.